We're going to open with prayer, and then we're going to take a look at our theme for the month, which is the divine exchange. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we look to you this morning, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you for the finished work of the cross. We thank you for the divine exchange. We thank you, Lord, that this is Resurrection Sunday month, Lord, and that we celebrate your resurrection every day. But, Lord, we know that the world celebrates it this month. So, Lord, we just ask you, God, to teach us today. Take us to a deeper place in you. Take us, Lord, to a deeper understanding of what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. All right, this is the proclamation of the divine exchange. And I don't have all of these on the PowerPoint, so we're just going to read them off of our card together. You ready? Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. Jesus died our death that we might receive his life. Jesus endured our poverty that we might share his abundance. Jesus bore our shame that we might share his glory. Jesus endured our rejection that we might have his acceptance with the Father. Jesus was made a curse that we might enter into the blessing. Jesus was cut off by death that we might be joined to God eternally. Our old man was put to death in him, that the new man might come to life in him. I'm sorry, in us. On the other side of your card, there are several scriptures that line up with these proclamations. And we're not going to read all of these this morning, but I encourage you to read this card, to make these proclamations. And this is the fourth card that you have received. And I believe we have 12 of them. And so each month you'll get another one. So you're going to have a whole set of cards of proclamations by the end of the year. So what we're focusing on this morning is the first two, which is Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. And Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. Let's read Isaiah 53, 4 through 5 together. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten for him and afflicted. As he was pierced for our transgressions, he was cursed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And by his stripes we are healed. I heard that. So Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. Can we go back to that scripture, please? We are bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Jesus endured all of the pain and the suffering and the sin of the world, of all mankind, upon the cross. God laid that upon him. He took our place at the cross. He did that for you and I. And we call it around here the finished work of the cross. There are benefits for us because of what Jesus Christ did. Jesus loved us so much, he didn't hesitate to give his life for us. He laid it all down at the cross. And not only did he lay down his life, but we can't even imagine the pain and the torture and the pressure of bearing all sin, disease, sickness, and transgression upon him. We have just a little bit of pressure on us. And we throw our hands in the air and we throw things and we get upset. We storm out of rooms because of a little bit of pressure. We can't even imagine what Jesus went through for us. But we want it to sink down deep in our soul, a deep appreciation for the finished work of the cross. And we want the revelation, Lord, of what that means as your children. All right, he's a good, good father. He's a good, good father. God so loved the world that he gave. God continues to give. He gave his only begotten son. And the work that was finished at the cross, the finishing work was to destroy Satan. Amen? It was to disarm Satan. Jesus disarmed him because of what he did. He took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Let's go on with our next verse. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been bought back from Satan. And Jesus could only do that for us because of the sacrifice that he paid. Okay, so to be redeemed means to be bought back. And let's read this in Peter 1:18 through 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus is compared to the Passover lamb. And let's take a look at that ordinance of the Passover in Exodus. And you can write these verses down as you take notes if you want to study it later. But Exodus 12:21 through 24, and Sterling's being spontaneous this morning and getting those scriptures up there for us. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourself according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the base. And none of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. This thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. So the Passover lamb is a type of the coming of the Messiah. Under the old covenant, the blood of the Passover lamb was applied to the homes of the Israel. It was the requirement of each father to take the Passover lamb and to kill it and to collect the blood in a basin, and then that blood was transferred from the basin to the doors with hyssop. So hyssop was essential because the blood remaining in the basin gave the family no protection. But the blood placed on the home by the use of the hyssop protected the family. So our hyssop, the way we apply the blood to our life, to the doorposts of our life, is by our testimony. When we testify about what the Bible says the blood of Jesus does, that is like taking the blood from the basin and sprinkling over the place that it is needed, the place where we live. You see, the scripture says we overcome Satan, Revelation 12:11. We overcome Satan by the blood and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. So we see to overcome Satan, who is our enemy, we've got to apply the blood into our lives. And the way we apply the blood of the Lamb is by the words of our testimony. You see, this is why the devil tries to get you to be quiet. Because when you're quiet and you don't talk about God and you don't share with people what God has done for you, what the blood of Jesus Christ has done for you, then Satan can just continue to get in your life and to mess with you. Because it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they didn't love their lives to the death. That means that doing the will of God is more important than staying alive. It's more important than staying alive. I was speaking with a couple of young men not too long ago that really believe that they're called to be martyrs in the last time. And other people have spoke to me about that. And other people have sensed that in their heart, even as young children, that someday they will give their life as a testimony of Jesus Christ. You see, the martyrs are people who are not afraid to testify. The Christians that are being slaughtered all over the world, and Christian persecution is way up. We are protected from so much news. I don't know protected, but it's like they like to put a hoodwink on you so you don't really know what's going on. And they'll have this, all of this stuff going on over here. So we look over there to see what that person is doing and that person is doing, when all the time the devil is at work over here, destroying our country, destroying Christians, and taking away what God has given to us as our freedom. So much going on. We need to be wise that we are not deceived in the last days. There are doctrines of demons, which means the doctrines of demons are being spoken by people. It's not some demon sitting over here on the street corner all by itself talking. No, demons get in people. They get into the thoughts. And they begin to take over, and they have an agenda, and it is called the Antichrist spirit. And you see, the devil wants us not to mention the name of Jesus in public. There is a new law that's coming that they're trying to get through Congress called the Equality Act. And I don't know if you've read much about that, but it's not an equality act. It is a law that will totally hush up the Christians. Read about it. Pray about it. You see, all these things are going on, and the church is worried about what President Trump is doing next. It is all a way of getting us distracted. So we don't know what's really going on. Are the forces that have been released into our Congress, the Antichrist force, is strong in the earth today? Jesus said when he was on the planet, it is already with us. Anyone that denies Jesus Christ is of the Antichrist spirit. And you cannot say you have Jesus Christ in your life, but yet legislate laws that are contrary to the word of God. Wake up. Wake up, America. Without God in our nation, without a foundation, what will the people do when the foundation is destroyed? And this is what's happening even as we sit here today. You know, I remember Martha Lucia came, and she's a general of intercession. And she said, you can not pay any attention to what is going on in the legislation and in the United States and in your state. But she said, so you can not pay any attention to it, and you can just stay dumb. It's exactly what she said. We are to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. And the church is called to legislate with God in the heavenlies, to pray the will of God into the earth realm, regardless of how things look. And if we don't know what's going on, then we're not going to know how to pray. If we haven't spent time with God, then we're not going to know what's on his heart, what is his will. We are to be about our Father's business every day. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So our testimony is the hyssop. We dip the hyssop. Our testimony is dipped in the blood of Jesus. It's the only thing that can set us free. It's the only thing that can keep us free. It's the power that's in the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. It's the only thing. It's the only thing. It's all about the blood. So what? About 15 years ago, they started taking all the songs out of the hymn books that talked about the blood. Churches stopped singing songs about the blood. But I'm telling you, it's all about the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, he sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat. And that blood is still crying out for you and I. It's never quiet. It's interceding and crying out for the church. Hallelujah. Because blood cries out. Wherever blood has been spilled, it cries out. That's why it's important to go and pray wherever someone's been killed, whether it's in an accident or if it's a violent crime or wherever that happened. It's important to go pray. Where blood is violently shed, we need to pray. The power is in the blood. And we overcome by the blood of our Lamb and the word of our testimony. You see, the blood is not effective in our life until we apply it with our testimony. By your words, you are justified, and by your words, you are condemned. By your words, there's life and death that are in the tongue. Give us an understanding, Lord, of the power that is in our testimony. You know, were being asked to write testimonies. And God's done so much for us, it's kind of hard to narrow down to, Lord, what is it that you want me to share? We're not called to write the whole book, right? It's your testimony. There's one done. Vicky's got hers done. Where's Vicky? Is she here this morning? Vicky's got her testimony done. Yay. She'll be sharing it with us pretty soon. Because that's what we're doing. Once the testimony's done, approved in the folder, we're going to read them in front of the church. The blood is applied and sprinkled in that area when you talk about your testimony. And the people you talk to need the blood. Come on. They need Jesus. Let's read our next verse. Our Passover lamb is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Leaven represents sin. We purge out that old man. The old man has to be crucified. Tell your neighbor, it's got to die. And that's one of the biggest struggles. Hallelujah. But that is purged out. Why? Because you're a new lump. Tell them you're a new lump. I know you always wanted to call someone a lump. You lump. You new lump. So redemption bought us back. Let's go to Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Paul states two things that were provided for by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's redemption and forgiveness. We have redemption. We have been bought back. And we have forgiveness of our sins. Let's go on to 1 Peter 1:18-19. Once again, we're redeemed by Christ's blood. We've been bought back from the enemy. Until Jesus applied the blood, forgave us of our sins, we belong to Satan. The scripture clearly talks about how people have their father is the devil, or your father is God. There's only... Yeah, you're on one side or the other. Who's on the Lord's side? Me too. All right, 1 Peter 1:18-19. Can we see 18? Okay, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And one of my favorite verses is Psalm 107:2. If we can go to that. 107:2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So we were once under the hand of the enemy, all of us were, because all of us were born in sin. And we were under the hand of the enemy, which means Satan was our taskmaster. And so Jesus Christ, he walked up and redeemed us from Satan when we gave our life to him. When we repented of our sins, we crossed over from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Thank you, Jesus. So it's through the blood of Jesus our sins are forgiven. And it's through the blood of Jesus that we are redeemed out of the hand of the enemy, the hand of Satan. So that is our testimony that applies the blood of Jesus. It's the hyssop that puts the blood on our doorpost. And sometimes we just have to tell that tormenting voice that keeps talking to us, I am forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have been redeemed from my past and from my sins because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I am not the person I used to be. Hallelujah. I'm a new lump. Hey, the word of God says I'm a new lump. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise. The second one we were looking at is Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. Many times I'll have people ask me, well, is it God's will to heal me? Well, if it wasn't God's will for us to be healed, then it would be wrong for us to seek healing anywhere. Whether it was from the doctor or taking medicine or whatever. Let's look at what the word says because it answers that question best. The very nature of God is that he is a healer and he is the physician of his people. He is a healer and he is the physician of his people. He created these bodies. He knows exactly how they work. You know, we've had a granddaughter in the hospital, which, by the way, during worship, she texted me and said she was being released today. She's feeling a little better. They're still not sure what was going on, but she was in since Tuesday night. Temperature of 104, very dehydrated. And had a headache for 10 days when she went into the hospital. And so they never figured it out. Ran all kinds of tests. But God heard the prayers of the saints. Hallelujah. God heard the prayers of the saints. You get into the hospital, they'll run test after test after test. And I understand it's the process of elimination. However, God already knows what it is. He already knows. He's our great physician. He's our healer. And he's never changed. Exodus 15:26. Let's read it. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. And even when we don't do everything exactly right, because tell your neighbor there's no one perfect. The blood of Jesus covers that. The blood of Jesus covers our unintentional sins. Did you know that? And when we know we've sinned, we repent of our sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ once again washes us and cleanses us and makes us whole. There's power in the blood. And he's the Lord that heals. In Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. The Lord does not change. He's the Lord who heals us. He does not change. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He's the same. There's power in the blood. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. We are healed. We might not feel good. And I woke up this morning with a sore throat and feel like I'm denying, pushing away in Jesus' name, a cold. It's not mine, okay? None of it's mine. It didn't come from God. Hallelujah. Because God only gives good. He doesn't break your leg to teach you a lesson. You know, I've heard some really crazy things that God has gotten blamed for. No. He's good and he gives you perfect gifts. Amen. So the whole reason, the very ministry of Christ is found in Acts 10:38. It's summed up. And he came to earth to bring healing to humanity. Here we go. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That was the ministry of Jesus Christ, to bring relief to people, to bring healing to people, to set people free from demonic strongholds. And demons are so active in the earth today. You know, we have prayed with people and seen such demonic manifestations. You know, growling at us, spitting at us, threatening to kill us. I remember one woman we prayed with, her tongue started moving so fast. It was like a lizard tongue that was just going in and out of her mouth like lightning. And she couldn't control it until we cast the devil out. Because the devil will make a fool of you. He will make a fool of you. And whenever you will to do good, the scripture says evil is present. You see, there's a demonic agenda to stop you. There's a demonic agenda to stop the church of Jesus Christ from rising up and being the glorious church and exercising the authority that God has given to us. But there is a people, there is a remnant. And I love social networking because you can get with people who are praying and you are praying across the United States. God is connecting that the vision I had at the beginning of the year of thousands of intercessors praying together is about all of us being able to connect because of the internet. The internet is a wonderful thing. And at the same time, the enemy uses it for destruction, for sex trafficking, for pornography. To fill your mind with filth. Come on. So we have to be able to say no. No, I'm not going to that site. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not getting hooked in. And I'm not getting a virus on my computer. Because that's usually what happens. Hallelujah. But Jesus' whole ministry was to set people free from the oppression of the devil. Let's go to John 6:38. Jesus said, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So you see, our Heavenly Father, it's his will. It is his will that Jesus came to earth to heal, deliver, and set free. It's his will for the people of God to do greater works than what Jesus did. Jesus was our atonement. We're going to be closing up. I'm going to ask if Amil would come to the piano. Jesus was the last Adam. And on the cross, he received all the evil that was due to the fallen race, which included sickness and pain, that we, by faith, might receive all the good due to Jesus. There's this divine exchange that took place. He was punished that I would be forgiven, that you would be forgiven. And he was wounded that we might be healed. Oh, the blood of Jesus. He bore our sins. That we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. 1 Peter 2:24, will you put that up? Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Thank you for your healing, Lord. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the forgiveness today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that by the word of our testimony, we can apply the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God has provided ways for us to receive healing. Mark 16:18. It starts out, and these signs will follow them who believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The laying on of hands, God has provided for us to receive healing. Did you know that? It's another one of those doctrines that just kind of got put to the wayside. But the laying on of hands is the transferring of the power of God. It's a connecting. It connects us. And let's look at James 5:14-15. And then we're going to close. James 5:14-15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Every Sunday morning, we provide opportunity for you to come forward, to be prayed for by the elders. If you're anointed with oil, you will be healed. If you're not anointed with oil, you will be healed. Amen? It doesn't take oil to receive healing. What it takes is people who are dedicated to pray for you, to fast, to pray, to seek God on your behalf, and to believe with you that you will be healed, that your situation will be changed, that the blood of Jesus will cover you, that by his stripes you are healed. We are being healed. We're healed every day. Every day God heals us in some way because he's a good, good Father. God has provided us with so much here at River of Life. And I thank God for our prayers that seek God on our behalf. By his stripes, you are healed.